Hi, welcome in the first episode of The Intimate Show. The Intimate Show is conversations, so it's like a talk show, between me and some wonderful guests that I'm inviting, or some of them have volunteered to join, to talk about some of the fundamentals of life and interaction with others, but also with ourselves, being intimacy in all its aspects, intimacy with the self, intimacy with others, not just with the lovers, but also with the co-workers, with the friends, with people you just meet, connection, sexuality, the male and the female energy within us, but also within our interaction or within our actions when creating things. And there may be more things that get involved that are related to this, but they'll just come up naturally when the time is there. And for today, I have a wonderful guest and friend, Heather Swift from the UK, and I will let her introduce herself.
Thank you. I'm going to say something, a confused, mixed up person who's gone through a lot of pain and suffering, learned a lot of skills and want to help others to be more loving, compassionate and understanding towards each other so we can create a better future for all of us. Not only for us, but the future generations to come. I think that's the best way to sum it up. If you want more information, we'll have a link for the website, which I am planning to update before the end of the year. You know, I don't like to have too much time frame on things.
So how is your website called?
Whistle in the Dark.
How did you come up with that name?
Because we talk more freely in the dark. So when we're not under the spotlight, we tend to be a little bit more open, maybe because you can't see your expressions. And when I take people out into nature and go in the woods, people are more open and free to speak as well. And yeah, don't matter how dark it is, I can't whistle. Don't matter how dark it is, we can find some joy and light. And we need to talk. People need to talk to each other. Yeah, well, usual counselling, it's a lot of person-centred stuff that I've done. And it's a one-way conversation a lot of the time. Many counsellors do it as a one-way conversation where I'm quite happy to share my personal experiences with people in the hope that somebody can use some of my lessons that I've learned to help integrate into their life and enhance it. Yeah, I'm a life enhancer, not a life coach.
Beautiful. What can people come to you for?
If you want guidance, if you're feeling lost and confused, I can signpost them to different areas that might be useful to them, different teachings or skills and organisations that can help. And the ability to be able to be free with what you're speaking about, confidentiality, and knowing that you're not alone, that you're the only one, and you're not that bad.
So basically creating a safe space.
Creating what, sorry? A safe space, yeah.
Yes.
Definitely. It's about creating a safe space.
Yeah, that's definitely something we need. If we're not able to create it for ourselves yet, then we need somebody else to help us actually experience what a safe space is. And from there, we get inspired and we can create it ourselves.
That's it, yeah. That's what I like to bring, to allow others to experience safety.
I can attest to that. The first time I experienced that, I will never forget it. And that's the next person I'll have a talk with. And that's going to be tomorrow or Sunday. I don't know. Let me check my agenda. When I met that lady, we sat down. It was a very crowded cafe. And it was just a bubble. Just a bubble that was there. And that completely opened up. And it didn't care that literally this distance from me, there was another guy sitting there who could hear everything. But it was just a bubble.
Mm-hmm.
It was just a safe space. And it was beautiful how that energy flew. And yeah, actually, I should start that conversation with that next time. Hmm. So yeah, I can attest to that, that being with somebody who creates a space for you and holds the space for you is crucial to start taking the first steps into the unknown and what's scary.
A place where somebody can share the fears. Because it's all right saying we want love, not fear, but we've got to see what the fears are first. Yeah, what is it that you're actually fearing? So you know that once you let that go, you can bring in more love.
Nice. And for those who don't know me, my name is Lotfi Mirad, and I work with intuition, hence the company name intuitive.me. I do help people reach their highest potential, discovering it in the first place, discover their gifts, encourage them to let them out. I do this through workshops, private sessions, seminars, webinars, also this talk show. And I often help people to ground first, because when we're grounded, we tend to be more in balance. That's when we can go inwards and then open our hearts and let the energy flow. And that's when our gifts, our true gifts, can manifest themselves. And I do that both for people in general and for entrepreneurs. And why for entrepreneurs? Because entrepreneurship can only be successful when the person, the entrepreneur himself, is in balance. The way you feel, your emotional state will reflect almost 100% in your output. So that's why I combine these two, and my goal is to help a lot of entrepreneurs, also other coaches, to do this. Because as a coach, we get a lot of stuff on our plate that can be difficult to process and to handle. But by working on the inner balance, we can become that conduit and like a smooth pipe through which the water can flow. And that means that as a coach, then you can do your thing without being affected and be clean and pure every time when you work with a new client. And bless you, Heather.
I'm so sorry, I'm trying to stifle it.
It had to come out. So let's dive in and let's start with a short meditation, and you will understand later on why. Put on your glasses. Oh, now we're going to get to the serious part.
I don't know, but what shall I wear? Do I look professional? You look, be comfortable, Heather. Just be comfortable.
Take a deep breath. And exhale. go with your attention to your heart. And just feel how it is. If it's open or closed, if it's warm or cold, just observe without judging. Now go to your feet and visualize roots growing out of them downwards into the earth. Let them grow longer and longer and longer, reaching down all the way to the center of the earth. Start releasing the tension that you feel in your feet and in your legs. Just release it downwards through the roots into the earth. Now go with your attention to your hips and your belly and release whatever tension is there. Just relax and let the tension flow out. Now go to your chest and your shoulders and your arms and release the tension from there. Also going down through your roots into the earth. Now go to your neck, your throat, and your head. And release the tension that you feel there. All the way down through your roots into the earth. And now go again to your feet and follow the roots down. And then observe how there is this intense energy in the center of the earth. Start letting this energy flow upwards through your roots, into your feet, through your ankles, up through your legs, and while it's coming up, it's also going sideways and filling up your body slowly, just like recharging a battery. It's going up and up and up through your hips, through your belly, through your chest, through your shoulders, down your arms, all the way to your fingertips, and upwards, all the way to the top of your head. Let that energy flow in. Let it recharge you. Now go with your attention to your heart again. Put one hand on your heart and feel. Feel how that energy that is flowing in is also warming up your heart. It's maybe even opening your heart and expanding it. Take your second hand and put it on your lower belly, where your thumb is on your belly button and the rest of the hand is beneath it, because that is where is the sacral chakra, the sexual chakra, the life energy chakra, the creative energy chakra. And feel how that one is also energizing. While the energy is still pouring up, coming up from the earth, filling you up and recharging you. And feel how that chakra is also expanding. Now visualize the flow of energy going from your heart outwards to your hand, down to the other hand, and then into your second chakra, and then flowing back up to your heart through you. And let that energy flow this way. This connection is essential for love making, for creating, being it creating something with your hands or intellectually, or even conceiving a baby. This energy flow is also needed to truly make love, whether it be with yourself or with somebody else. This energy flow makes it real, makes it loving. Makes it radiating, makes it beautiful. Maybe you're already feeling that both chakras have become so strong that they're expanded and they're actually starting to melt together. That's the case, that's beautiful. That's not the case, it's also fine. You just keep focusing on that energy flow. When you're ready, you can slowly open your eyes. Take your time. Yes, good idea. Stay hydrated. So, Heather, we decided to have this talk today to just chat about something related to the bigger picture of intimacy, connection, sexuality, male-female energy, sacred union, all within us and us with others. And you had a subject in mind. I don't know if it's still the same one, but I would just like you to just dive in. Just name what's coming up. And yeah.
Yeah, we were going to talk about how the feminine energy can be distorted, that to be divine and feminine, you've got to be like Mother Mary, when actually part of the divine also integrates Mary Magdalene energy as well, or the false ideas that we've been given of what that was, you know, that she was a prostitute and actually she was a teacher as well as Jesus. And yeah, she was a moon priestess, so she went with the flow following the moon. And for some reason, the church doesn't like that, but we still incorporate it with some of their ceremonies to keep the pagans happy. And now science has caught up with agriculture, that the moon does have a massive effect on how crops grow. When's the best time to harvest? Best time to water? But yeah, they're actually getting in touch with nature, going back to us, going back to its roots. And one thing that's been coming up for me is emotional dysregulation. As empaths, we get accused of being all over the place. Not being told, yeah, we can pick up on that. And that's a beautiful power. No, it's scary, because you pick up other people's rubbish. And actually integrating what is their energy, what's my energy, and keeping that balanced is a totally different thing. But yeah, not just so many things about another person's opinion, how that does or doesn't affect us, but our own conditioning, our own false ideas and beliefs that have been put onto us. And when you hear these nagging voices and these labels being put on, then realise they're actually false ideas and beliefs that somebody else has put onto you. It's not true nature of who we are.
I believe that's a very important thing to be aware of.
Yeah, I think because, like yourself, I've had a problem with addiction to sex and love. It's caused me problems. And when I've looked at codependency, all the books, most of the books that I've read, which haven't been many to be truthful, has been how we relate to the father, to the opposite parent. Mm-hmm. And never having that parent in my life, it was like, I can't relate to any of this material because I have got no experience of relating to a father figure. And I've only been able to bring that into my life recently. Yeah, knowing that men will abandon me has been a deep hidden belief that I've had for a long time, and that can have me playing out doing anything to people, please, to keep that person in my life so they don't leave. Or it can be the complete opposite, is right, you can go, because I know you're going to go anyway, you might as well go now, you know, keep away.
So basically it's reliving the trauma and recreating it, not just reliving it, but actually recreating it.
Yes, yeah. And then sort of learning to move out into the bigger picture to see that there has been opportunities for lessons to learn And until we learn them, we'll keep coming back to it. And I think that's what the world's going through right now. With the energy, we've come to that ending that we can't take any more of this. The world's having a physical, mental, emotional breakdown. And for those who have survived it and come through it, that makes us stronger and more energetic to help the people who are going through this now or who will be going through it shortly. I know the unemployment in the city where I live has gone up like 40% or something. We've always been in a deprived area. We've always had high unemployment and poverty. So that's one thing to actually see it spreading out and affecting more people now is interesting. Yeah, there used to be people a bit more financially stable, and now that's been taken away from them. The identity gets removed because you don't have your job. You can't buy the clothes that you want. You can't get the new car. You can't go on holiday. You can't get all this external stuff. And that the only thing that's left is you.
Yes, you need to go back inwards.
Yeah.
Where it all starts.
What is really important? And it's to have a healthy, open heart. For me.
And that's difficult for a lot of people because when we get hurt, especially when, let's say, a parent is hurting us by leaving or by ignoring us or whatever the pain is, we tend to shut it down out of self-preservation. And maybe it is at the start, but it's not a solution for the long term. We cannot keep protecting ourselves because in the end we only hurt ourselves. Like what you were describing, you were pushing away men because you were still trying to protect yourself from something that was not happening. You were only attracting it in your life because you were there with a closed heart. And I've been experiencing the same. Not having an open heart or not open enough is what in the end destroyed my last relationship. When my heart closed, that was the end of it. I didn't realize that until very recently, like last week or so, it suddenly came to me. And that's why I also started the meditation with the heart. I normally never start with that. I always start with the root chakra, with the feet, whatever. And this time, the heart. And I was like, what am I doing? I was like, oh, it's important. Okay, let's go with the flow. Just trust the intuition. And it's also trust what actually helps us to get out of addiction, to get out of the fear, to lift blockages, to open the heart. It's all about trust.
Definitely. Yeah, you can try and have hope, but it won't manifest until you've got trust.
Also with this external situation, staying in fear and trying to protect yourself from what? You cannot protect yourself from a virus that is in the air and that can float around everywhere, or you cannot protect yourself from the economy collapsing, because what can you do about that? You can only trust yourself, your abilities, by going inwards and feeling, okay, what can I do? What added value can I bring, which will bring people to me, and we will be able to have a barter, being it with money or with service or with goods. But it all starts by in yourself, and then by opening your heart and start doing something. But staying like this all the time, and that's how people have been living.
I like that because you seem to have it from the male perspective. It's about giving, which is what I've been doing all my life, and now getting more into my feminine spirit, it's like I'm ready to receive. I've done the opposite thing, because something that's come up for me recently is control, which is something I've worked at a few times now, that I'm trying to control everything. And I've narrowed that down. I've stopped controlling people. I've worked on that with different relationships. And actually letting them do that, I've been called a psychopath, because I will let them do whatever they want. As long as it isn't harming me, you know what I mean? They can be who they are. And then they get upset when it goes wrong. But you've just been yourself. Don't blame me for me letting you to be you. Yeah, to me it's the opposite. I'm ready to receive, which that to me is a very strange energy. I find that, because I think so much was denied to me in the past that now it's, this is scary. Actually, I suppose it's like the, I don't like this analogy, because I am at heart a witch, but the witch giving Sleeping Beauty the apple. Here's, you got something, and now you're going to get knocked out. And, yeah. It's like I've been tricked when somebody's giving me something. And you say, now I've got that trust. Yeah, let's see how this energy goes.
It's interesting you mentioned the receiving part. And that's not just for the woman only. Also, men need to learn to receive. It's mm-hmm. also one of the things that in the past 5 years, it has been pushed in my face. And I was not really ready for it. So I kept pushing also away, because I was not, yeah, I don't know. Actually, I was raised, but not consciously raised to receive. And it's something we don't really learn. Mm-hmm. And also when you look at religion and society in general, you're good if you give.
Mm-hmm.
But if we all start giving and none of us knows how to receive, then we will end up with a lot of stuff in the street from everyone giving, but nobody's letting it in.
Yeah,
it's going nowhere.
That thing, you can't give from an empty cup. So if you're trying to give something that's not there as well, you know, you've got to have that first before you can give it away. So if I want to give care to somebody, I've got to care for myself first.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And I get guilty of being selfish, but yeah, I am self-centered, because in my life I'm the most important thing, because I will, it's the only thing that's with me 24 hours.
That's one of the first things I say to my clients. Who's the most important person in your life? And then when they have kids, they start talking about the kids. I'm like, nope, you are. Because if you're not taking good care of yourself, how can you be a good support or a good mother or a good father for your kids or for anybody else who needs to lean on you? If you're weak and they lean on you, you both drop. So you need to be strong. It means taking good care of yourself. And that also requires you to have some self-esteem.
Mm-hmm.
That you're worth taking care of, that you're worth existing.
I think one of the things that helped me get through my addiction to alcohol and, well, drugs, because alcohol is a drug,
mm-hmm.
dealing with that is, I don't know where I learned it young, but if I'm happy, the people around me will be happy with that. And yeah, we had some crazy times, but I wanted us to be happy. When I say us, yes, me, I wanted me to be happy, but I want the people around me to be happy as well. And I also want them to feel safe to be sad. Because for most of my life, I suppressed my emotions. It was dangerous to have emotions. And I was, the Queen of Swords. That's another thing protecting people with. I'm strong and powerful, but don't come near me because I'll cut your head off. I'm trying to move more into the Queen of Hearts, the Queen of Cups.
Yeah, it's really beautiful what you're sharing, because the addiction part comes from the lack.
Mm-hmm.
And generally we don't realize what we're looking for. And that's mm-hmm. why we're not getting it. and also because we're not really allowing it in. Like people who are addicted to sex, like I was, you're looking for connection. You're mm-hmm. looking for the warmth. But because your heart is closed, it cannot come in. So you keep having sex with different women or men, depending on what you like, and nothing is happening. It always feels something is missing. So you try again and again. Or you may have a moment like, it feels good. Yeah, the moment of the orgasm, and a few minutes later, already emptiness. So you need again a high. And that's also how alcohol works. Like, okay, you need another shot and another shot, or another cigarette, or another sniff of coke, or whatever it is, because you want to feel good, but you're not allowing the real good to actually exist or to get in.
That chasing, wanting to feel good, actually has left me with feeling so dark, so bad, because then you get the shame and the guilt. Like, why did I go with him? The embarrassment sometimes.
There is a movie title, The Pursuit of Happiness. I don't know if you saw that movie.
Yeah, yeah.
I really recommend it to anyone watching, The Pursuit of Happiness. It's such a beautiful movie.
Mm-hmm.
Because it really portrays what we're talking about. And anyone can relate to it, no matter where you are in your life, even if you are convinced that you already have a lot of balance, there are still areas where something is missing, where you're not fully accepting yourself. And this movie will push that button and trigger it and show you, like, okay, there's still that thing that I need to work on. So I really, I want to watch it again, actually. I'm going to look for it.
Thank you for that reminder. I might watch that again this weekend. Sorry, I've got an innate in it as well, because I've got a special weekend plan.
Yes, I know, you shared with me, and the funny thing is that you sharing your happiness and your joy made me feel good, and I realized that right away, because I have been very focused on, okay, what's happening to me, and so now I really realized within seconds you were talking and I started to feel good. It was like, okay, I'm just happy for her, and the joy and happiness is contagious,
mm-hmm.
and so is love. And that's why I recorded yesterday a video which was inspired by a talk that I heard and some reactions of people, and I was like, if just a few people open their hearts and are not hiding behind walls.
Yeah.
And just interact with whoever is in front of them with an open heart and connect directly with the other person's heart. So soul to soul it goes. Then you will influence other people. You will infect other people. And some may not respond to it. Some may still stay with a closed heart, but then just see it as putting a seed that will grow one day. But some will respond to it and will start to do the same. And that's how it spreads. Like a virus, but a nice one.
Yeah, that's the way to do it. What were we going to say? I think to have an open heart, you've got to get away from the thinking. Get the connection between thinking and feeling. For most of my life, it were, how are you feeling? Oh, I'm annoyed. This happened, that happened. But that isn't how I'm feeling. That's how I'm thinking. And that thinking changes how I actually feel. So how do I feel when I'm feeling like that? I get tense and angry. Or when I'm thinking more positive thoughts, then I open up more.
But it started with you reacting to the outside world and being focused on the outside world.
My thoughts about the outside world.
Yes.
Not what actually is there, but my thoughts of what is there, what should be there, that shouldn't be there.
Yeah, there should be. That's something you talked about before, and I lost it at a certain moment, but came back now. It's the expectations that we have that screw up everything. Every time we have expectations, we have a very big chance of getting disappointed.
Yeah, and it's not just on the external, it's on us as well. What we expect from us. Yes. That's the big thing, isn't it? Yeah. And we are our own harshest critics.
Yes, yes. Very, very, very true.
If we're busy judging ourselves, then we're going to judge others.
And just imagine if you are in a relationship with somebody, being it a love relationship or a friendship, or even with like a parent-child relationship or a colleague, if you would not have expectations, mm-hmm. how would it be?
But yeah, I think I want to do some more work on expectations, boundaries, forever doing boundaries, and principles and scruples and your core values, you know, getting the right terminology for what is actually going on, you know, and how we're working with that.
And that brings us back to self-love.
Yeah.
If we love ourselves, we appreciate ourselves, automatically there will be boundaries. And the boundaries will only show up when needed. But our energy will be in such a way that people will not even think about crossing the boundaries.
And they can't actually see what's there either. I'm sort of relating to a light in a jar. The more it's covered up, it can... Let me see, how can word this? It's actually in the room, so the more you step back, the more you reveal of your light. People can't see it if it's in a square, if it's in a dark room. In a light room, they can't see it either. But if it's boxed in, if you've got solid boundaries, people can't see your light. And that's why heartbreak's so good. Why suffering's good, because each time it opens up, the world gets to see a little bit more of who you really are. So, yeah.
Which is scary for most of us.
It is, but a few of us have had his heart exploded. It's shattered in that many pieces. It's, yeah, it's all there. What you see is what you've got. What is.
Actually, the pieces are not the heart. They are the shell that we built around the heart.
Yes, that is so. That's the jar.
Yes.
Where the light and the jar around us. So or the container. The container stops and it creates the shadows, does the container. It isn't the light that's creating the shadows. It's what's surrounding it. What does it say? Yeah, you can't have... Darkness is the absence of light.
Yeah.
I don't know whose quote that is, but I like that.
Yeah, it's interesting that yesterday and today I interacted with somebody that I had been in contact with. We had a very intense contact. We met many months ago online, and somebody in the US. At a certain moment, some darkness came up. And we had a clash, and I was like, okay, this is not healthy. So we stopped communicating. And then recently I saw again some posts, and I put a like, and then there was a like on my post. And yesterday I just sent a short message. I think I was the one who sent first the message. I don't know. Actually, one of us just sent a message, and the other responded. And it was just from here. And we both went back into the heart. We didn't stay with the memory of what happened then, because yes, there was some darkness that showed up, which was painful, but that was a moment, that was a cry for help, that was just an outburst. And then there was a need for some peace and some time of self-contemplation. But now that it happened, we can be friends again.
You can be better friends now that that little bit of darkness, whatever it was, has been removed or exposed. I'll say exposed, not removed, because we can't remove anything. We just move it.
Yeah. But it was only possible because we both went back to the heart. And we didn't hold a grudge, which is also important. I mean, holding a grudge is the same as being angry. It's just poisoning yourself because of what somebody else did or what yourself did, what you did yourself. But it's useless. It's just harming yourself and you're not gaining anything except for self-destruction. So if that's your goal, then do it. But if that's not your goal, just stop it.
Yeah. I've got that somewhere in one addiction literature. I don't know if it's AA. I think it's AA. Yeah, resentment is the number one offender. That might be NA, actually. I'm not sure. Yeah. Resentment is the number one offender. Because if you're resenting something, that's going to take away your peace and your faith. And end up slipping back to old behaviour.
So, coming back to what you wanted to tackle, the feminine.
Stand up for the prostitutes. I've got friends who are prostitutes who have been and worked in that field, and I know men who've used them as well. And it is the oldest profession. But that need for to put women down, because a woman sleeps with multiple partners, she's a whore, whatever. A man is a stud. I mean, what? Why is that inequality? We don't have to be the same, but the acceptance should be the same to be who we are.
But that is because we have been living in a world where men wanted to dominate the women. And actually, I've been told that actually the woman allowed that to happen for evolution. And maybe there was a period where it was the opposite before, but we don't know that. History is not talking about that. Basically, because history is being written by men for the last 2000 years. So, of course, men will not, their egos will not admit that, oh, but before we were the losers. So
I do want to read the Book of Mary. It's called one of Dead Sea Scrolls that didn't appear in the Bible. I had hoped to read that before our conversation today, but I've been having too much fun to be reading and studying.
Actually, one thing that popped up is when I met my best friend, it was at actually the introduction evening of my first big breakthrough workshop. She walked in with somebody, sat down next to me, but I already felt the energy coming and I was not that open yet, but I just felt, and I looked and I was like, okay, you and I, we have something to do in this life together. So I just introduced myself and then the show started. I mean, the guy started doing his thing. And the first volunteer that he asked for was her, of course. She went on stage. And then he looks at her, he says, you have been an Egyptian priestess. And it just hit me hard, and her also. She was like, yes, I know this. This has been told to me before, and I've seen it. And I had something with Egypt. The games I was playing was always choosing the civilization Egypt when my uncle had to move to a retirement home, there was this whole bookshelf full of books of Egypt. And I was like, those I need. I never read them in the end. But it was that thing Egypt was attracting somehow. And what the Egyptian priestess was doing, one of the things was, she was teaching men how to have sex. But not just sex, but the sacred sex in the sacred union. And that was their profession.
Mm-hmm.
And it was only for the rich who could afford it. So it was technically some kind of prostitution because there was money or any other services that were being exchanged. But it was not for the pleasure, like generally prostitution is, but it was about teaching how to actually connect and melt together, something that most people today don't even know how to do it. Even I experienced it only a few times in my life that I'm really aware of that that happened. Well, I have been aware of this is possible, and even after experiencing it another time, it's not that easy. And the reason for that is that you need to be really grounded, like really grounded, and empty the mind, let it go to sleep, let the ego go to sleep, and then you can enter that state. But the two of you need to do that, and with an open heart. Another thing I wanted to say about prostitution is that prostitution is not only about sex as well. I mean, yes, people are going there because they think they want to have sex, but also
the whole connection.
That's why you have also what they call dame de compagnie in French, which is like a companion for an evening or for an event. It's about just being with someone. It's about the connection. So there are also guys who go literally to a prostitute in the red light district and only have a talk. They just sit down and they talk.
Yes.
Touch each other.
Yeah, I know people who do that.
And most people don't know this. They just think, oh, they go in and like ding, 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 and then they go. It's not about that. And so what I'm getting at is that the real thing that will actually feed us is to go in the true connection. But it starts with the connection with self. And then you can connect with the other in the same way.
Yeah, I'm trying to think why a lot of men in relationships actually go to prostitutes as well, because they've got this thing at home, that this woman that they love, this partner, look at both sides, this partner that they love, but they can't give herself wholly, in however you want to use that word, because they're ashamed and embarrassed about their wants and needs.
They have
but they want to be free and open, but they don't give that to the woman that they're with, or the man that they're with. So we have to separate myself and, that woman can have that piece of me. That woman can have that piece of me. And they can have a bit of that. Instead of being the whole in each relationship, for just giving parts of it. And so afraid that if they give herself whole, they'll be rejected. So they might have a loving, caring wife at home, but if I let her know that I've got whatever kink and fantasies going on, she'll leave me. So I have to go do that somewhere else and keep that hidden. And I find that sad. But there's a need for it.
There are still cultures today where this is at play, like in, I don't know if it's Italy or just Sicily, that men have mistresses because the sex and the horniness they have with the mistress and the mother of their children that one is to be respected.
Yeah, I think there's some sort of power play in that as well, because yeah, the rich and powerful were known for the same thing, aren't they?
Ah, not just the rich and powerful. There are plenty of cultures where it's just
the greedy and the powerful, rather, not rich. I'm going to say greedy. What were you saying, Sonna?
Yeah, so it's interesting to see those dynamics, and they're afraid to bring them together, because the mother of your children, of course you respect her, but you should respect a woman in general.
Mm-hmm.
And why not enjoy sexuality with her?
Mm-hmm.
Why do these things need to be separate? But it's a social thing. Religion played a very big role in this, and religion has actually been governing us, because yeah, the high priests were the one dictating the law. Even if there was a king, they were advising the king, like, you're gonna do that or else. Mm-hmm. So that's not really advising, and they wanted a division. That's why they said, oh, you were born sinners and Jesus sacrificed himself. All these things, they're just pushing us down to blow our self-esteem, I mean, to destroy it, to destroy the union within us, and also from there, the union with the others. Like Julius Caesar said, divide and conquer. Or I prefer to say divide then conquer. Because when people are not unified, you can manipulate them, you can conquer them very easily.
Mm-hmm.
And to keep the power, that's what religion did. And they copied each other. And I'm talking about the main religions, the three big ones.
Mm-hmm.
They copied each other. Where if you go to the East, you see that sexuality is very much mixed within the religion, is even sacred.
Yeah, I'm thinking of sort of some of the...
Is about that. I mean, the sacred union and sexuality are also one.
Yeah, there's a lot of old temples that have nudity around them. And yeah, you go into the inner sanctum for with less ornate stuff, less distraction, because that's who you really are. Yeah. And in my view, Western religion, how it's moved over here, is everything's got to be covered up, clothed, keep it. You can't see who I really am. You can't see the real me, but I'm nice. Yeah, this is who I am. It could also be that it's bloody cold over here. Some of the time, we need more clothes in West. North, rather.
Oh, that is the reason. Ah, it was about the climate.
I don't wear less clothes in summer. I'm a lot freer in the summer weather.
So coming back to the feminine.
Okay.
How do you implement that today?
I'm trying. Sorry, I thought somebody was at the door.
Yeah, I heard something too.
How do I implement that? By being caring and compassionate, and sitting quietly, learning to actively listen. Instead of like most conversations, it's what am I going to say next? What am I going to say next? What can I say next? Shut that up. Just be present and receiving what that person's giving to me. And even if I don't like it, like say, that's uncomfortable. It's okay. I'm giving somebody the space to let it out. And yeah. And just because we receive something, it doesn't mean that we have to keep it. It's what we're doing at the moment. Observe, don't absorb. But yeah, we can see what's going on, because we're not busy chatting how we're going to change it. And that person's wrong, we can see that, and yeah, that's okay. Just let it flow.
Yeah, flow. It's funny, the word flow has been coming back in my life so much recently. And
I've had the word churn over the last few days. Churn keeps coming up. So yeah, going with flow, but it's yeah, I feel like humanity is sort of jumping off the cliff at the moment, isn't it? We are taking that leap off the cliff. And when you come off air, it does churn, doesn't it, the water? It's all... And then it comes back together, it flows a bit smoother. I was listening to somebody recently and rather about water, because we're 70-80% water. And how at the top of a waterfall, it tastes different and feels different. So if you go to scoop the water up at the top of a waterfall and actually feel it, and then go to the bottom and feel it, you can feel the pulling because it's been disintegrated. So like the molecular structure of the water at the top of the waterfall is more connected. But when it goes over, it just falls apart. And then as you're pulling it up, it's sort of trying to come back together again. So we can go through turbulent times, but we come back together and go with the flow. But how do I integrate the feminine energy? I'm still working on that. Like I said, getting rid of the masculine energy, not getting rid of it, putting less importance on it, about the being in control thing and allowing people to be who they are. And the need to fight. I'm a fighter and I'm tired of fighting. Kitchen, I'm a lover, not a fighter. And I wish that was so much true, but at my core, I'm a fighter. It's hard.
It's not really at the core.
Making people, I think what it is making people, allowing people to feel accepted. Because most people don't feel accepted.
Do you accept yourself?
Yeah, most of the time. Sometimes I do my head in, but it is that mothering energy of having that child in your arms and looking over it. They don't have to do anything, but just fair. You don't love them if they're doing a job for you. You just love them for being there, these little babies. And when you can do that with grown-ups as well, I think that's a divine feminine energy.
Yes, that also means not having expectations. So does it mean that expectations is a masculine energy?
To me, I think, yeah. If we say that the feminine energy is surrounding, encouraging the masculine energy, it's aligned, isn't it? Mm-hmm. So it's so straight. So he's expecting to see things. I think it's a more blinkered view, it's a masculine energy. They're stood in one place and can only see what's in front of them. Which is needed. You do need to be grounded and to have focus sometimes to see how you're going to create. Where the feminine energy dances around and keeps moving and changing and brings something else back to learn from. Yeah, it's. But yeah, what did I say about it? It's masculine to expect that.
It's interesting what you said about the grounding. And that triggered in me like the question, how do I integrate the feminine? So what I've come to realize is that the more I'm grounded, the more I have the balance male and female in me.
Mm-hmm.
because of the masculine doing what he needs to do, the feminine gets a space to do what it needs to do as well.
Yeah.
And when I'm not in balance and I'm not grounded, old habits and old patterns, which are destructive, pop up again. I noticed that very clearly in the past year. So that's why I'm increasingly focused on living a balanced life, resting enough. Okay, that is my thing. The sleep thing is still the thing for me, sleeping enough. Although I'm still productive, so somehow, and I just read somewhere that the more we are cleaned and purified, also physically and mentally and emotionally, we need less sleep. But moving enough, exercising enough, feeding myself properly with the right foods, drinking enough, all these things, resting enough, meditating or just contemplating, having my walks in the park, connecting with nature, all this has been leading to me actually feeling my feminine energy for the first time ever in my life, like being conscious of it. And that's also what led to the end of my addiction. That's what led to me being not just single but also celibate for over a year. Now, really by choice.
Mm-hmm.
Because I will not just sleep with a woman because I haven't had sex for over a year. I will only end up in bed with a woman if the energy is right.
Mm-hmm.
And I live in a country with a lot of beautiful women. And if you go in the park, you see the most beautiful ones because those are the ones who exercise and work out. So you see them jogging. So yeah, there's plenty of female beauty. But I don't feel the need to do something. Because it's not that animalistic energy that's dominating anymore, which is the pure masculine. I mean, mm-hmm. like the imbalanced raw masculine. But there is now the combination of both, so there is the respect, and also see that women respond differently to me. Just when you have this look when you cross each other's path, it's different from before, because they don't sense the predator anymore. And most men, because they are out of balance and not taking good care of themselves, their masculine is also out of balance, let alone there is no balance between the masculine and the feminine. And that's why they think with their dicks.
I've just decided to change it all now. Being a masculine energy. Masculine is the physical. And the feminine is the thought, is the energy. Yeah, so the feminine energy is what dreams up what it wants to create, and the masculine actually produces it into the physical. I don't know where I'm going with that one, but it was just when you were talking. I've noticed more men becoming, acting like women. I know we have, we've got all this non-binary stuff going on. But yeah, being on dating apps and a lot of young women are showing all the body off and do that. I'm used to that. I don't mind.
I wonder why men
don't mind exposing the body, but the difference between showing it off and if I'm got few clothes on when I'm out, it ain't a case that I'm doing this to look at me, it's because I'm comfortable. If I wanted to, it ain't about flirting and moving and look at me, it's this is who I am. And I've noticed how men respond to me differently, which it would be they would come on to me for sex before. Now I'm more exposed and more vulnerable. Not, I've actually pushed people away. They won't come towards me as much because the sense that I won't take that off them. that I'm not needed, that I don't want that. I might look like I want attention, but it's not really true.
No, because the energy has shifted. Your energy is different. Yeah. And the funny thing
is, somebody wants to take from me, they can't take it from me because I can't.
Because your boundaries are there.
It's not available, yeah.
Because you have the self-respect.
But looking at these guys' photos and they stood there with towel, pulling the t-shirt open. What are you doing? It just seems wrong to me.
Yeah, I mean, when you said...
Women doing that as well seems wrong when they start just see a little bit.
Yeah, but when women do this, and especially when you start posting all these pictures just to show off, because you want to show how beautiful you are, so that you have so many men coming to you so that you can cherry pick which one you want to have. And then later they start complaining, he only wants me for my ass or for my boobs.
Well, that's what you've been showing.
That's the first thing you're showing.
Yeah. That's what you're giving. I mean, yeah, I'm more comfortable showing more off. Not showing more off, exposing more in my local area where people know me a bit more. Would I walk around town in a bra top and a skimpy pair of shorts? No. But there's a lot of other reasons for that as well, because there's a lot of mixed cultures, and that's respect for me and respect for them as well. At home, I have less respect. It's got more acceptance. It's like, at home, I'm quite happy to be more free, and who sees me, it don't matter. But when I'm round with people, with strangers, I need that defense mechanism on. Yeah, it's a bit, I'm still trying to get away from this feminine masculine. I know we both have them, but it's missing the old point of unity from her. And it's still causing division in it. Even within ourselves, we're bringing in that division. Yes. And does it matter if it's male or female? I think for me, is it creating something good or something bad? Or something desired and something unwelcome?
Yes. I mean, the sacred union, the fact they call it that way is making it that huge thing that's out there and that you can only wish for.
Yeah, a little baby doesn't know if it's boy or girl. No. We put different stuff onto that and pick it up. If you just act it, it's a loving little baby. It's loving something that needs to be nurtured. And that's what we are inside.
Yeah. Because even in relationships, the woman can be the male archetype and the man can be the female archetype.
And it can change.
As long as they're having this.
Mm-hmm.
And within us, it's the same. It's why should there be division? But I know why there is division, because when we incarnated, we wanted to experience certain things.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe it goes even further. Maybe we just put the challenge for ourselves, like, okay, we're going to split ourselves up, just like the chakras, because by origin, we just have one chakra, which is located in our chakra. But then we split that up. We split up the genders, the male, female energy. So all these splits, okay. It's like the Rubin cube, this one with the colors. Let's try to bring everything back in order. And then start. Okay, who can do it first? It's like a competition or like, okay, how are we going to do this? It's like a challenge for ourselves and learn a lot in the process. So us keep focusing on the division is us not going towards the finish line. This is not a competition. It's just like, okay, we're not going towards our goal. And that's also what you see in politics, what you see in the media. It's all about dividing, because that's the energy we started with. We started with division. But then what you also see is that people started to look for communion, living in communities, building partnerships. So not big corporations that are competing with each other, but smaller enterprises, entrepreneurs starting to team up, people in their local area starting to team up. So the unification is slowly coming in all areas. And there is still the force of the division, so there is still those fighting this. So for example, what I see, I'm not saying this is factual, but how I see it is that, for example, we have this new age thing where people actually connect more. So they also hug when they meet. And not just the hug like, and then hitting each other on the back. No, it's like really a hug to connect. And with this whole social distancing thing, it says, or it's distancing again. Keep distance. Don't come together. Don't unify. So this is just another thing that's happening for us to realize, what do we really want? Do we want to stay divided and separate and feel miserable? Or do we want to unify more? Do we want to be really doing this with ourselves, within ourselves first, and then also with the others?
I think because I've been quite fragmented a lot of the time, that I actually enjoy the social distancing. It's like, yeah, I wouldn't touch you with a 6-foot barge pole. I think that's an English quote saying. Wouldn't want to touch him with a 6-foot barge pole. So about 6 foot is important, and there's always important. So who we're allowing to come close to us makes a big difference. It's, yeah, I want to be connected, but to have a choice who I'm connected with.
Exactly. And the space also gives you the space to connect within yourself, to keep yourself, to bring yourself in balance, keep yourself in balance, and then you choose who's coming in, who's not in that.
Yeah, and I don't ever want that person near me. When it's more appropriate, I might choose to have them closer. Or they might be just somewhere else in the whole cycle of things.
That's also part of the boundaries. I mean, even with friends, with good friends, sometimes you don't want them around. Sometimes you just want to be by yourself. And that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
It's about the choice and the respect of the choice and of the needs of the self and the other.
Yeah, I think that's why I'm struggling with it, because I believe it's my choice, not somebody else, not a government's choice to tell me who I can and can't connect with. If I'm following my intuition and my energy, I know who I'm feeling safe to connect with. But they're saying that I can't connect with anybody who I don't have in my bubble. Anyway, I'm not even going down that, because I've had enough of it. It's just ridiculous.
No, but it's again something on the spiritual side that is showing us what is helping us see what we really want from the inside out. Everything that's happening around us is there to teach us things.
Yeah.
Being social distancing, being lying politicians, being viruses, whatever, disasters, is all bringing us back to the core and for us to realize, what do I really want? And the funny thing is, I posted a picture with the Earth and an asteroid coming to it, and wrote, if you would know it would wipe us out in 12 hours from now, how would you spend these 12 hours? Almost nobody responded to it. Almost nobody had a proper answer. Because most people actually don't know what they really want. in their lives. They don't know what really is important to them.
I mean, the first thought for me is connection, the people I care about most. That's, yeah.
So that's important to you.
Yeah, oh, it's said to a lot of us. Yeah, who would I like to say goodbye to? And that's all that matters.
Yeah, so you wouldn't need the full 12 hours.
I'm not going to go out shopping and buy something.
Oh no, toilet paper. You should buy toilet paper. When the world is going to end, you buy toilet paper.
Well, yeah, I think it's what I can give away as well. What would I like? Last year, I spent a lot of time thinking about letting go, about non-attachment, and I do give a lot of things away. I look at things, yeah. I'm just looking, who would I give my telly to? I know who that I got. There's little bits of ornaments that I'd give to some people. And last year, I give it to them while I'm alive. You know, it's a, I think when I lost my mum, when she passed away, and we had to get rid of the house and the contents and stuff. And most of the stuff ends up in bin. So what is actually important? I look around and bin. Bin important. It's nice to feel comfortable and have nice things to look at, but I'm not going to get upset over dropping something, even if it's got sentimental value, because the sentiment is in my heart. I don't need a physical thing there to do it. If I can't remember it, it's not in my heart. So. And I get that sort of argument with myself about...
So detachment.
Not having sentiment and being non-emotional. That emotional shutdown, it's... Got to be careful with that one. It can come across so easily when I say I don't want anything, but it's just twigged then. So when I said I don't want anything, well, that's why you're not receiving anything, because you don't want anything.
No, it's different. I get what you're saying. It's not about the amount of things you're getting. It's just about you having what you need to have when you need to have it.
It's about having that physical thing to remind me of somebody as well. And I say, if I'm going to die in the next 12 hours, what do I want people to remember me for? Do I want to remember a necklace that I wore? No. It's that feeling that I want from to remember people by, not what they've bought me, not what they've given me. Yeah, what did they bring into me? What did I actually really get? What it like the compassion and the feeling connected and wanted? And that pisses off a lot of people, because when it comes to birthday or Christmas, I've got to get you something. I thought, what do I get you? What do I get me food, something that I can eat and drink. That's all that matters, yeah.
So bring this back to the self and to the connection with others. What I hear you saying is less attachment, more detachment. We talked about expectations. We talked about judgment. Self-judgment, judgment of others. So could we then conclude that in order to experience true intimacy, in order to experience union, being it with the self, with a lover, with a friend, with anyone, that we actually need to let go of these things, of expectations, to have self-appreciation, to detach from objects and from the outcome, and trust that everything goes the way it needs to go for us. So basically riding the wave, being in flow.
Yeah. It's nice to be in flow, and then sometimes it's nice to be on the beach having a rest.
That's part of the flow. Part of the flow. If you take the leaf on the river, it does stop sometimes when it's at the stone, and then a wave comes and it moves again. So
yeah, I do go with the flow. Like I said, predominantly water, but we are earth and fire as well. Earth, fire, and air. We aren't to forget them bits if we're going to have a human experience.
So bringing this to lovemaking.
Okay.
That would mean that there is the flow, but there's also the pause. Both pausing even at the same time, just staying still, laying still, just feeling, just being in the moment, not having to do anything. And the not having to do anything also means there are no expectations. It's not a performance race.
Yeah. I'm thinking, because a lot of people try to detach from the emotions of having sex. And that's the water, that's the flow. But if we allow the fire to burn and hit the water, that's when it gets hot and steamy. And that's when life grows. So after a volcano, when it hits the water, that's when something new can grow. So yeah, it's good being in the emotions, but don't forget the fire. Yeah, it's all about, you can't create if you're just flowing. You're carrying messages. You're carrying things all over, but you're not creating. And I think that's why we come on for a physical experience, so we can create things.
Yes.
I'll have to find a bit more on that.
Yep. And some things to try out now in practice.
Yeah, now I've got somebody to co-create with.
So I want a full report in a week. How did you perform with all the non-expectations?
There is a large mirror. I don't know if we could video it. This is what really happened.
No, I'm just teasing. No, I just wish you to... Well.
You really know that I am not going to send you a sexual video.
Then I was just it is that we're always like, oh, but then it's going to be the weekend and we will see that person, and then, oh, we're going to do that and that and that and that. So we're putting all those expectations there, where how great would it be just to, yeah, we're going to meet and we'll see.
I have got an expectation of a foot massage, because I've been led on to that, which was nice.
Okay, this one is allowed. That expectation is, yeah, that's an acceptable. No, but it's not the kind of expectation that actually puts pressure on the whole thing and destroys the flow of energy.
I can actually put my foot into it. No, I'm scared about putting my foot in my mouth. It's not good. I'm not having feet in mouth.
No, I know the expression.
When you knew, you're scared to, you know, do something wrong. Oh, I don't want to do that, but...
Yeah, but yeah. The fear is because of this lack of self-trust, which is because of the lack of self-appreciation, the lack of self-love. And that's why before we can really be in a wonderful relationship with somebody else, we need to first have that wonderful relationship with ourselves.
Yeah.
So... it all comes back to working on yourself. And then, yeah, you can try out things, but definitely not having expectations, because as long as you're not in balance, you will not have the balance in your relationship. So you want to be in a relationship while you're not in balance? Fine, but don't complain, because, yeah, it's going to be a reflection of how you are on the inside. And Yeah, you and me, we're not 20 anymore. We have had quite some experience in life. And yeah, I believe both of us can say this from experience now. The more we work on ourselves, the better our interaction gets with people in general.
Mm-hmm.
And thus also in relationships, in love relationships, that I mean. So.
Yeah. The more authentic.
We have this conversation again in a few years from now.
That's so cool.
Watch together this recording. We will be laughing like hell because we will see how much we grew again and how much has changed.
I will change tomorrow. Oh, yeah, by Monday.
We change every day, but it's interesting. I realized it helps to look back at how we used to behave because that encourages us that there is hope for us to grow and to evolve and to get better at things. Not that we were bad at things, but just that we find more this balance that smoothens things, that leads to that flow to be smoother.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, grounding for me was something very
difficult,
but the more I practiced, the easier it became, and now I can ground in seconds.
Yeah.
Just with a thought. I don't even need to physically do something to ground. Okay, if the energies are really very agitated, then I need more time, but generally it goes very fast. So also with getting insights, getting answers from my intuition, the same, it's about practicing. So what I would like to say to the people is, practice. Don't be afraid to make mistakes. Don't be afraid to upset somebody or yourself. Just practice and do, but do it from here. As long as we're in here, that's why I started with that meditation, with here. It all starts here, and then the rest will come. People will not get offended if you make a mistake, if you're making it while acting from here. People will be like, that was not so practical. Could you do that differently? Instead of punching.
Yeah.
Any final thoughts?
I was just sort of thinking about perfectionism, that we're not perfect, we never will be. And
or we were born perfect, and we just are.
While we've got a physical existence, we're not going to be perfect.
Okay.
And yeah, don't strive for perfection too quick, because once we're perfect, we'll be dead. So enjoy, have the fun getting there. Yeah.
That's
enjoy the life you have. Yeah.
Having fun.
Definitely. If you can't have a laugh in a day, then there's something wrong. Even in the midst of the darkest times that I've had, I still ended up managed to laugh.
Yeah, it takes off the tension, it takes off the pressure, and it puts things back in perspective.
Yeah.
I mean, the toughest example you can give probably is death. Why be afraid of death? Why be so serious about it? Because the day I die, it's not a problem for me. It's a problem
exactly.
for those behind. Yeah. Like, oh, we're going to miss him. Those who had all those expectations to see me another 1,000 times, to see me another 10 years, to do all those things with me, they're the ones who had the expectations. They're the ones who are crying. I will just like, yeah, it's over.
Yeah. Good
Nothing
luck.
To worry about.
Meet you on the other side.
So I want to thank you very much for your time.
Thank you. Well, thank you for letting me work on my throat chakra, because I know I suppress myself so much.
Well, I didn't see that today at all.
Good.
And the funny thing is, and I really want to say this out loud, for those who are not sure if they want to join me in a talk like this, you were nervous when I first asked you.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't see any of it during this talk. Yes, the meditation may have helped, but it's not that difficult.
Well, yeah, yesterday I was thinking, I need to read that, I need to do a bit more research and all that, and this morning, well, you need to meditate. Let go of all that stuff. Just get focused. Get know that. Don't matter about all that stuff, it will come what you need to say. And trust in that process that it will. And even if you don't decide to publish this, it's still being done. It's still there, you know what I mean? It's yes. Yeah.
The energy has been invested.
Yeah. Yeah, I found it useful.
Me too. Like, subscribe, and share.